which now is rising, will direct you to take the mount by easier ascent." With this he vanished, and I raised me up without a word, and wholly drew myself unto my guide, and turned mine eyes to him. And he began, "Son, follow thou my steps. Let us turn back, for on this side declines the plain unto its lower boundaries." The dawn was vanquishing the matin hour, which fled before it, so that from afar I recognized the trembling of the sea. Along the solitary plain we went, as one who unto the lost road returns, and, till he finds it, seems to go in vain. As soon as we were come to where the dew fights with the sun, and, being in a part where shadow falls, little evaporates, both of his hands upon the grass outspread in gentle manner did my master place, whence I, who of his action was aware, extended unto him my tearful cheeks. There did he make in me uncovered wholly that hue which hell had covered up in me. Then came we down upon the desert shore, which never yet saw navigate its waters any that afterward had known return. There he begirt me as the other pleased. Oh, marvellous! For even as he called the humble plant, such it sprang up again, suddenly, there, where he uprooted it.
Purgatory. Canto 2.
Already had the sun the horizon reached, whose circle of meridian covers o'er Jerusalem with its most lofty point, and night, that opposite to him revolves, was issuing forth from Ganges with the scales that fall from out her hand when she exceedeth, so that the white and the vermilion cheeks of beautiful Aurora, where I was, by too great age were changing into orange. We still were on the border of the sea, like people who are thinking of their road, who go in heart and with the body stay. And lo, as when upon the approach of morning, through the gross vapors Mars grows fiery red down in the west upon the ocean floor, appeared to me, may I again behold it, a light along the sea so swiftly coming, its motion by no flight of wing is equalled. From which, when I a little had withdrawn mine eyes, that I might question my conductor, again I saw it brighter grown and larger. Then on each side of it appeared to me I knew not what of white, and underneath it, little by little, there came forth another. My master yet had uttered not a word, while the first whiteness into wings unfolded. But when he clearly recognized the pilot, he cried, make haste to bow the knee. Behold the angel of God. Fold thou thy hands. Henceforward shalt thou see such officers. See how he scorneth human arguments, so that nor oar he wants nor other sail than his own wings between so distant shores. See how he holds them pointed up to heaven, fanning the air with the eternal pinions that do not moult themselves like mortal hair. Then, as still nearer and more near us came the bird divine, more radiant he appeared, so that nearby the eye could not endure him. But down I cast it, and he came to shore with a small vessel, very swift and light, so that the water swallowed naught thereof. Upon the stern stood the celestial pilot. Beatitude seemed written in his face, and more than 100 spirits sat within. In exitu Israel de Egypto, they chanted all together in one voice, with whatso in that psalm is after written. Then made he sign of holy rood upon them, whereat all cast themselves upon the shore, and he departed swiftly as he came. The throng which still remained there, unfamiliar, seemed with the place all round about them, gazing, as one who in new matters makes essay. On every side was darting forth the day. The sun, who had with his resplendent shafts from the mid-heaven chased forth the Capricorn, when the new people lifted up their faces towards us, saying to us, "If ye know, show us the way to go unto the mountain." And answer made Virgilius, "Ye believe, perchance, that we have knowledge of this place, but we are strangers even as yourselves. Just now we came, a little while before you, another way, which was so rough and steep, that mounting will henceforth seem sport to us." The souls who had, from seeing me draw breath, become aware that I was still alive, pallid in their astonishment became. And as to messenger who bears the olive, the people throng to listen to the news, and no one shows himself afraid of crowding, so at the sight of me stood motionless those fortunate spirits, all of them, as if oblivious to go and make them fair. One from among them saw I coming forward, as to embrace me with such great affection, that it incited me to do the like. Oh, empty shadows, save in aspect only! 3 times behind it did I clasp my hands, as oft returned with them to my own breast. I think with wonder I depicted me, whereat the shadow smiled and backward drew, and I, pursuing it, pressed farther forward. Gently it said that I should stay my steps. Then knew I who it was, and I entreated that it would stop a while to speak with me. It made reply to me, "Even as I loved the immortal body, so I love thee free. Therefore I stop. But wherefore goest thou?" "My own Casella, to return once more, there where I am, I make this journey," said I. "But how from thee has so much time be taken?" And he to me, "No outrage has been done me, if he who takes both when and whom he pleases has many times denied to me this passage, for of a righteous will his own is made. He, sooth to say, for 3 months past has taken whoever wished to enter with all peace. Whence I, who now had turned unto that shore where salt the waters of the Tiber grow, benignantly by him have been received. Unto that outlet now his wing is pointed, because for evermore assembled there those who towards Acheron do not descend." And I, "If some new law take not from thee memory or practice of the song of love, which used to quiet in me all my longings, thee may it please to comfort therewithal somewhat this soul of mine, that with its body hitherward coming is so much distressed. Love, that within my mind discourses with me," forthwith began he so melodiously, "the melody within me still is sounding. My master and myself, and all that people which with him were, appeared as satisfied as if naught else might touch the mind of any. We all of us were moveless and attentive unto his notes. And lo, the grave old man exclaiming, 'What is this, ye laggard spirits? What negligence, what standing still is this? Run to the mountain to strip off the slough that lets not God be manifest to you.' Even as when, collecting grain or tares, the doves together at their pasture met, quiet, nor showing their accustomed pride, if aught appear of which they are afraid, upon a sudden leave their food alone, because they are assailed by greater care. So that fresh company did I behold the song relinquish, and go towards the hill, as one who goes, and knows not whitherward. Nor was our own departure less in haste."
Purgatory. Canto 3.
Insomuch as the instantaneous flight had scattered them asunder o'er the plain, turn to the mountain whither reason spurs us, I pressed me close unto my faithful comrade. And how without him had I kept my course? Who would have led me up along the mountain? He seemed to me within himself remorseful, O noble conscience, and without a stain, how sharp a sting is trivial fault to thee. After his feet had laid aside the haste which mars the dignity of every act, my mind, that hitherto had been restrained, let loose its faculties as if delighted, and I my sight directed to the hill that highest towards the heaven uplifts itself. The sun that in our rear was flaming red was broken in front of me into the figure which had in me the stoppage of its rays. Unto one side I turned me, with the fear of being left alone, when I beheld only in front of me the ground obscured. "Why dost thou still mistrust?" my comforter began to say to me, turned wholly round. "Dost thou not think me with thee, and that I guide thee? 'Tis evening there already, where is buried the body within which I cast a shadow. 'Tis from Brundusium Ting, and Naples has it. Now, if in front of me no shadow fall, marvel not at it more than at the heavens, because one ray impedeth not another to suffer torments, both of cold and heat, bodies like this that power provides, which wills that how it works be not unveiled to us. Insane is he who hopeth that our reason can traverse the illimitable way, which the one substance in three persons follows. Mortals, remain contented at the Kia, for if ye had been able to see all, no need there were for Mary to give birth. And ye have seen desiring without fruit those whose desire would have been quieted, whichever more is given them for a grief. I speak of Aristotle and of Plato, and many others." And here bowed his head, and more he said not, and remained disturbed. We came meanwhile unto the mountain's foot. There, so precipitate, we found the rock, that nimble legs would there have been in vain. Twixt Lerici and Turbia, the most desert, the most secluded pathway is a stair, easy and open, if compared with that. "Who knoweth now upon which hand the hill slopes down?" my master said, his footsteps staying, "so that who goeth without wings may mount." And while he held his eyes upon the ground, examining the nature of the path, and I was looking up around the rock, on the left hand appeared to me a throng of souls that moved their feet in our direction and did not seem to move, they came so slowly. "Lift up thine eyes," I to the master said. "Behold on this side who will give us counsel, if thou of thine own self can have it not." Then he looked at me, and with frank expression replied, "Let us go there. For they come slowly, and thou be steadfast in thy hope, sweet son." Still was that people as far off from us, after a thousand steps of ours, I say, as a good thrower with his hand would reach, when they all crowded unto the hard masses of the high bank, and motionless stood and close, as he stands still to look who goes in doubt. O happy dead! O spirits elect already! Virgilius made beginning, "By that peace which I believe is waiting for you all, tell us upon what side the mountain slopes, so that the going up be possible, for to lose time irks him most who most knows." As sheep come issuing forth from out the fold by ones and twos and threes, and the others stand timidly, holding down their eyes and nostrils, and what the foremost does the others do, huddling themselves against her, if she stop, simple and quiet, and the wherefore know not. So, moving to approach us, thereupon I saw the leader of that fortunate flock, modest in face and dignified in gait. As soon as those in the advance saw broken the light upon the ground at my right side, so that from me the shadow reached the rock, they stopped, and backward drew themselves somewhat, and all the others who came after them, not knowing why nor wherefore, did the same. Without your asking, I confess to you this is a human body which you see, whereby the sunshine on the ground is cleft. Marvel ye not thereat, but be persuaded that not without a power which comes from heaven doth he endeavour to surmount this wall. The master thus, and said those worthy people, Return ye then, and enter in before us, making a signal with the back of the hand. And one of them began, Whoe'er thou art, thus going, turn thine eyes. Consider well if e'er thou saw me in the other world. I turned me towards him, and looked at him closely. Blond was he, beautiful, and of noble aspect, but one of his eyebrows had a blow divided. When with humility I had disclaimed, ere having seen him, Now behold, he said, and showed me high upon his breast a wound. Then said he with a smile, I am Manfredi, the grandson of the Empress Costanza. Therefore, when thou returnest, I beseech thee, go to my daughter beautiful, the mother of Sicily's honour and of Aragon's, and the truth tell her, if aught else be told. After I had my body lacerated by these two mortal stabs, I gave myself weeping to him who willingly doth pardon. Horrible my iniquities had been, but infinite goodness hath such ample arms that it receives whatever turns to it. Had but Cosenza's pastor, who in chase of me was sent by Clement at that time, in God read understandingly this page, the bones of my dead body still would be at the bridgehead near unto Benevento, under the safe guard of the heavy cairn. Now the rain bathes and moveth them the wind beyond the realm, almost beside the Verde, where he transported them with tapers quenched. By Malison of theirs is not so lost eternal love that it cannot return, so long as hope has anything of green. True is it, who in contumacy dies of holy church, though penitent at last, must wait upon the outside this bank 30 times told the time that he has been in his presumption, unless such decree shorter by means of righteous prayers become. See now if thou hast power to make me happy, by making known unto my good Costanza how thou hast seen me, and this ban beside, for those on earth can much advance us here.
Purgatory. Canto 4.
Whenever by delight or else by pain that seizes any faculty of ours, wholly to that the soul collects itself, it seemeth that no other power it heeds. And this against that error is which thinks one soul above another kindles in us. And hence, whenever aught is heard or seen, which keeps the soul intently bent upon it, time passes on, and we perceive it not, because one faculty is that which listens, and other that which the soul keeps entire. This is as if in bonds, and that is free. Of this I had experience positive in hearing and in gazing at that spirit. For 50 full degrees uprisen was the sun, and I had not perceived it when we came to where those souls with one accord cried out unto us, "Here is what you ask." A greater opening oft-times hedges up with but a little forkful of his thorns the villager, what time the grape imbrowns, than was the passageway through which ascended only my leader and myself behind him after that company departed from us. One climbs San Leo and descends in Noli and mounts the summit of Bismontova with feet alone. But here one needs must fly. With the swift pinions and the plumes, I say, of great desire, conducted after him who gave me hope and made a light for me. We mounted upward through the rifted rock, and on each side the border pressed upon us, and feet and hands the ground beneath required. When we were come upon the upper rim of the high bank out on the open slope, "My master," said I, "what way shall we take?" And he to me, "No step of thine descend. Still up the mount behind me win thy way till some sage escort shall appear to us." The summit was so high it vanquished sight, and the hillside precipitous far more than line from middle quadrant to the center. Spent with fatigue was I when I began, "O my sweet father, turn thee and behold how I remain alone unless thou stay." "O son," he said, "up yonder drag thyself," pointing me to a terrace somewhat higher, which on that side encircles all the hill. These words of his so spurred me on that I strained every nerve behind him, scrambling up until the circle was beneath my feet. Thereon ourselves we seated both of us, turned to the east, from which we had ascended, for all men are delighted to look back. To the low shores mine eyes I first directed, then to the sun uplifted them, and wondered that on the left hand we were smitten by it. The poet well perceived that I was wholly bewildered at the chariot of the light, where twixt us and the Aquilon it entered. Whereon he said to me, "If Castor and Pollux were in the company of yonder mirror that up and down conducteth with its light, thou wouldst behold the zodiac's jagged wheel revolving still more near unto the bears, unless it swerved aside from its old track. How that may be, wouldst thou have power to think, collected in thyself, imagine Zion together with this mount on earth to stand, so that they both one sole horizon have, and hemispheres diverse, whereby the road which feet on, alas, knew not to drive, thou'lt see how of necessity must pass this on one side, when that upon the other, if thine intelligence rightly clearly heed."
"Truly, my master," said I, "never yet saw I so clearly as I now discern, there where my wit appeared incompetent, that the mid-circle of supernal motion, which in some art is the equator called, and I remains between the sun and winter, for reason which thou sayest departeth hence towards the septentrion, what time the Hebrews beheld it towards the region of the heat. But if it pleaseth thee, I fain would learn how far we have to go, for the hill rises higher than eyes of mine have power to rise."
And he to me, "This mount is such that ever at the beginning down below 'tis tiresome, and I, the more one climbs, the less it hurts. Therefore, when it shall seem so pleasant to thee that going up shall be to thee as easy as going down the current in a boat, then at this pathway's ending thou wilt be. There to repose thy panting breath expect. No more I answer, and this I know." for true. And as he finished uttering these words, a voice close by us sounded,
"Peradventure, thou wilt have need of sitting down ere that."
At sound thereof, each one of us turned round, and saw upon the left hand a great rock, which neither I nor he before had noticed. Thither we drew, and there were persons there who in the shadow stood behind the rock, as one through indolence is wont to stand, and one of them, who seemed to me fatigued, was sitting down, and both his knees embraced, holding his face low down between them bowed.
"O my sweet lord," I said, "do turn thine eye on him who shows himself more negligent than even Sloth herself his sister were."
Then he turned round to us, and he gave heed, just lifting up his eyes above his thigh, and said,
"Now go thou up, for thou art valiant."
Then knew I who he was, and the distress that still a little did my breathing quicken, my going to him hindered not. And after I came to him, he hardly raised his head, saying,
"Hast thou seen clearly how the sun o'er thy left shoulder drives his chariot?"
His sluggish attitude and his curt words a little unto laughter moved my lips. Then I began, "Belacqua, I grieve not for thee henceforth. But tell me, wherefore, seated in this place, art thou? Waitest thou an escort? Or has thy usual habit seized upon thee?" And he,
"Oh, brother, what's the use of climbing, since to my torment would not let me go the angel of God who sitteth at the gate? First heaven must needs so long revolve me round outside thereof, as in my life it did, since the good sighs I to the end postponed, unless, ere that, some prayer may bring me aid which rises from a heart that lives in grace. What profit others that in heaven are heard not?"
Meanwhile the poet was before me mounting, and saying,
"Come now, see the sun has touched meridian, and from the shore the night covers already with her foot Morocco."
Purgatory, Canto 5.
I had already from those shades departed, and followed in the footsteps of my guide, when from behind, pointing his finger at me, one shouted, "See, it seems as if shone not the sunshine on the left of him below, and like one living seems he to conduct him." Mine eyes I turned at utterance of these words, and saw them watching with astonishment but me, and the light which was broken.
"Why doth thy mind so occupy itself," the master said, "that thou thy pace dost slacken? What matters it to thee what here is whispered? Come after me and let the people talk. Stand like a steadfast tower that never wags its top for all the blowing of the winds. For evermore the man in whom is springing thought upon thought removes from him the mark, because the force of one the other weakens."
What could I say in answer but, "I come"? I said it somewhat with that color tinged which makes a man of pardon sometimes worthy. Meanwhile, along the mountain side across came people in advance of us a little, singing the Miserere verse by verse. When they became aware I gave no place for passage of the sunshine through my body, they changed their song into a long, hoarse, "Oh!" And two of them, in form of messengers, ran forth to meet us, and demanded of us, "Of your condition, make us cognizant." And said my master,
Ye can go your way and carry back again to those who sent you that this one's body is of very flesh. If they stood still because they saw his shadow, as I suppose, enough is answered them. Him let them honour, it may profit them.
Vapours enkindled, saw I ne'er so swiftly at early nightfall cleave the air serene, nor at the set of sun the clouds of August, but upward they returned in briefer time, and on arriving with the others wheeled towards us, like troops that run without a rein.
This folk that presses unto us is great, and cometh to implore thee, said the poet. So still go onward, and in going listen.
O soul that goes to beatitude with the same members wherewith thou wast born, shouting they came, a little stay thy steps. Look, if thou e'er hast any of us seen, so that o'er yonder thou bear news of him. Ah, why dost thou go on? Ah, why not stay? Long since we all were slain by violence, and sinners even to the latest hour. Then did a light from heaven admonish us, so that both penitent and pardoning, forth from life we issued reconciled to God, who with desire to see him stirs our hearts. And I, although I gaze into your faces, no one I recognize. But if may please you aught I have power to do, ye well-born spirits, speak ye, and I will do it by that peace which, following the feet of such a guide from world to world, makes itself sought by me. And one began. Each one has confidence in thy good offices without an oath, unless the I cannot cut off the I will. Whence I, who speak alone before the others, pray thee, if ever thou dost see the land that twixt Romagna lies and that of Charles, thou be so courteous to me of thy prayers in Fano, that they pray for me devoutly, that I may purge away my grave offences. From thence was I, but the deep wounds through which issued the blood wherein I had my seat were dealt me in bosom of the Antonori. There, where I thought to be the most secure, 'twas he of Este had it done, who held me in hatred far beyond what justice willed. But if towards the Mira I had fled when I was overtaken at Oriaco, I still should be o'er yonder where men breathe. I ran to the lagoon, and reeds and mire did so entangle me I fell, and saw there a lake made from my veins upon the ground. Then said another, Ah, be that desire fulfilled that draws thee to the lofty mountain, as thou with pious pity aidest mine. I was of Montefeltro, and am Buonconte. Giovanna, nor none other, cares for me. Hence among these I go with downcast front. And I to him, What violence or what chance led thee astray so far from Campaldino, that never has thy sepulture been known?
Oh, he replied, At Casentino's foot a river crosses named Archiano, born above the hermitage in Apennine. There, where the name thereof becometh void, did I arrive, pierced through and through the throat, fleeing on foot and bloodying the plain. There my sight lost I, and my utterance ceased in the name of Mary, and thereat I fell, and tenantless my flesh remained. Truth will I speak, repeat it to the living. God's angel took me up, and he of hell shouted, O thou from heaven, why dost thou rob me? Thou bearest away the eternal part of him for one poor little tear that takes him from me, but with the rest I'll deal in other fashion. Well knowest thou how in the air is gathered that humid vapour which to water turns soon as it rises where the cold doth grasp it. He joined that evil will, which I seeks evil, to intellect, and moved the mist and wind by means of power which his own nature gave. Thereafter, when the day was spent, the valley from Pratumagno to the great yoke covered with fog and made the heaven above intent, so that the pregnant air to water changed. Down fell the rain, and to the gullies came whate'er of it earth tolerated not. And as it mingled with the mighty torrents, towards the royal river with such speed it headlong rushed that nothing held it back. My frozen body near unto its outlet the robust Achaean found, and into Arno thrust it, and loosened from my breast the cross I made of me, when agony o'ercame me. It rolled me on the banks and on the bottom, then with its booty covered and begirt me.
Ah, when thou hast returned unto the world, and rested thee from thy long journeying,
after the second followed the third spirit,
do thou remember me, who am the Pia. Sienna made me, unmade me Maremma. He knoweth it, who had encircled first, espousing me, my finger with his gem.
Purgatory. Canto 6.
Whene'er is broken up the game of Zara, he who has lost remains behind despondent, the throes repeating, and in sadness learns. The people with the other all depart. One goes in front, and one behind doth pluck him, and at his side one brings himself to mind. He pauses not, and this and that one hears. They crowd no more to whom his hand he stretches, and from the throng he thus defends himself. Even such was I in that dense multitude, turning to them this way and that my face, and, promising, I freed myself therefrom. There was the Aretine, who from the arms untamed of Ginditaco had his death, and he who fleeing from pursuit was drowned. There was imploring with his hands outstretched Frederick Novello, and that one of Pisa who made the good Marzucco seem so strong. I saw Count Orso, and the soul divided by hatred and by envy from its body, as it declared, and not for crime committed, Pierre de la Brosse, I say, and here provide, while still on earth, the Lady of Brabant, so that for this she be of no worse flock. As soon as I was free from all those shades who only prayed that some one else may pray, so as to hasten their becoming holy, began I. It appears that thou deniest, O light of mine, expressly in some text, that Orison can bend decree of heaven. And nevertheless, these people pray for this. Might then their expectation bootless be? Or is it to me thy saying not quite clear? And he to me. My writing is explicit, and not fallacious is the hope of these, if with sane intellect 'tis well regarded. For top of judgment doth not veil itself, because the fire of love fulfills at once what he must satisfy who here installs him. And there, where I affirmed that proposition, defect was not amended by a prayer, because the prayer from God was separate. Verily, in so deep a questioning, do not decide, unless she telleth thee, who light twixt truth and intellect shall be. I know not if thou understand. I speak of Beatrice. Her shalt thou see above, smiling and happy on this mountain's top. And I, good leader, let us make more haste, for I no longer tire me as before, and see now the hill a shadow casts.
We will go forward with this day, he answered, as far as now is possible for us. But otherwise the fact is than thou thinkest. Ere thou art up there, thou shalt see return him, who now hides himself behind the hill, so that thou dost not interrupt his rays. But yonder, there, behold, a soul that stationed all alone, is looking hitherward. It will point out to us the quickest way.
We came up unto it. O Lombard soul, how lofty and disdainful thou didst bear thee, and grand and slow in moving of thine eyes. Nothing whatever did it say to us, but let us go our way, eyeing us only after the manner of a couchant lion. Still near to it, Vigilius drew, entreating that it would point us out the best ascent, and it replied not unto his demand. But of our native land and of our life it questioned us, and the sweet guide began, Mantua, and the shade, all in itself recluse, rose towards him from the place where first it was, saying, O Mantuan, I am Sordello of thine own land, and one embraced the other. Ah, servile Italy, grief's hostelry, a ship without a pilot in great tempest, no lady thou of provinces, but brothel. That noble soul was so impatient only at the sweet sound of his own native land to make its citizen glad welcome there. And now within thee are not without war thy living ones, and one doth gnaw the other of those whom one wall and one fosse shut in. Search, wretched one, all round about the shores thy seaboard, and then look within thy bosom, if any part of thee enjoyeth peace. What boots it that for thee, Justinian, the bridal mend, if empty be the saddle? Without this the shame would be the less. Ah, people, thou that oughtest to be devout, and to let Caesar sit upon the saddle, if well thou hearest what God teacheth thee, behold how fell this wild beast has become, being no longer by the spur corrected, since thou hast laid thy hand upon the bridle. O German Albert, who abandonest her that has grown recalcitrant and savage, and oughtest to bestride her saddle-bow, may a just judgment from the stars down fall upon thy blood, and be it new and open that thy successor may have fear thereof, because thy father and thyself have suffered by greed of those transalpine lands distrained the garden of the empire to be waste. Come and behold Montecchi and Capaletti, Monaldi and Filippeschi, careless man, those sad already, and these doubt-depressed. Come, cruel one, come and behold the oppression of thy nobility, and cure their wounds, and thou shalt see how safe is Santa Fiore. Come and behold thy Rome that is lamenting, widowed, alone, and day and night exclaims, My Caesar, why hast thou forsaken me? Come, and behold how loving are the people, and if for us no pity moveth thee, come and be made ashamed of thy renown. And if it lawful be, O Jove supreme, who upon earth for us wast crucified, are thy just eyes averted otherwhere? Or preparation is it, that in the abyss of thine own counsel, for some good thou makest from our perception utterly cut off? For all the towns of Italy are full of tyrants, and becometh a Marcellus each peasant churl who plays the partisan. My Florence, well mayst thou contented be with this digression, which concerns thee not, thanks to thy people who such forethought take. Many at heart have justice, but shoot slowly, that unadvised they come not to the bow, but on their very lips thy people have it. Many refuse to bear the common burden, but thy solicitous people answereth without being asked, and crieth, I submit. Now be thou joyful, for thou hast good reason, thou affluent, thou in peace, thou full of wisdom. If I speak true, the event conceals it not. Athens and Lacedaemon, they who made the ancient laws and were so civilized, made towards living well a little sign compared with thee, who makest such fine spun provisions, that to middle of November reaches not what thou in October spinnest. How oft, within the time of thou remembrance, laws, money, offices, and usages, hast thou remodeled and renewed thy members. And if thou mind thee well, and see the light, thou shalt behold thyself like a sick woman, who cannot find repose upon her down, but by her tossing wardeth off her pain.
Purgatory. Canto 7.
After the gracious and glad salutations had three and four times been reiterated, Sordello backward drew and said, "Who are you?"
"Or ever to this mountain were directed the souls deserving to ascend to God. My bones were buried by Octavian. I am Virgilius, and for no crime else did I lose heaven than for not having faith."
In this wise, then, my leader made reply, as one who suddenly before him sees something whereat he marvels, who believes and yet does not, saying, "It is, it is not." So he appeared, and then bowed down his brow, and with humility returned towards him, and, where inferiors embrace, embraced him. "O glory of the Latins, thou," he said, "through whom our language showed what it could do, O pride eternal of the place I came from, what merit or what grace to me reveals thee? If I to hear thy words be worthy, tell me if thou dost come from hell, and from what cloister?"
"Through all the circles of the doleful realm," responded he, "have I come hitherward. Heaven's power impelled me, and with that I come. I, by not doing, not by doing, lost the sight of that high sun which thou desirest, and which too late by me was recognized. A place there is below not sad with torments, but darkness only, where the lamentations have not the sound of wailing, but are sighs. There dwell I with the little innocents snatched by the teeth of death, or ever they were from our human sinfulness exempt. There dwell I among those who the three saintly virtues did not put on, and without vice the others knew, and followed all of them. But if thou know and can some indication give us, by which we may the sooner come where purgatory has its right beginning."
He answered, "No fixed place has been assigned us. 'Tis lawful for me to go up and round, so far as I can go, as guide I join thee. But see already how the day declines, and to go up by night we are not able. Therefore 'tis well to think of some fair sojourn. Souls are there on the right hand, here withdrawn. If thou permit me, I will lead thee to them, and thou shalt know them not without delight."
"How is this?" was the answer. "Should one wish to mount by night, would he prevented be by others, or mayhap would not have power?"
And on the ground the good Sordello drew his finger, saying, "See this line alone, thou couldst not pass after the sun is gone. Not that aught else would hindrance give, however, to going up, save the nocturnal darkness. This, with the want of power, the will perplexes. We might indeed therewith return below, and, wandering, walk the hillside round about while the horizon holds the day imprisoned. Thereon, my lord, as if in wonder, said,
Do thou conduct us thither, where thou sayest that we can take delight in tarrying.
Little had we withdrawn us from that place, when I perceived the mount was hollowed out, in fashion as the valleys here are hollowed.
Thitherward, said that shade, will we repair, whereof itself the hillside makes a lap, and there for the new day will we await.
Twixt hill and plain there was a winding path which led us to the margin of that dell, where dies the border more than half away. Gold and fine silver, and scarlet and pearl white, the Indian wood resplendent and serene, fresh emerald the moment it is broken, by herbage and by flowers within that hollow planted, each one in colour would be vanquished, as by its greater vanquished is the less. Nor in that place had nature painted only, but of the sweetness of a thousand odours made there a mingled fragrance and unknown. Salve Regina, on the green and flowers there seated, singing, spirits I beheld, which were not visible outside the valley.
Before the scanty sun now seeks his nest,
began the Mantuan, who had led us thither,
among them do not wish me to conduct you. Better from off this ledge the acts and faces of all of them will you discriminate than in the plain below received among them. He who sits highest, and the semblance bears of having what he should have done neglected, and to the other's song moves not his lips, Rudolph the Emperor was, who had the power to heal the wounds that Italy have slain, so that through others slowly she revives. The other, who in look doth comfort him, governed the region where the water springs. The Moldau bears the Elbe, and Elbe the sea. His name was Ottokar, and in swaddling clothes far better he than bearded Wenceslaus, his son, who feeds in luxury and ease. And the small-nosed, who close in counsel seems with him that has an aspect so benign, died fleeing and disflowering the lily. Look there how he is beating at his breast. Behold the other one, who for his cheek sighing has made of his own palm a bed. Father and father-in-law of France's pest are they, and know his vicious life and lewd, and hence proceeds the grief that so doth pierce them. He who appears so stalwart and chimes in, singing, with that one of the manly nose, the chord of every valour war begirt. And if, as king, had after him remained the stripling who in rear of him is sitting, well had the valour passed from vase to vase, which cannot of the other heirs be said. Frederick and Giacomo possess the realms, but none the better heritage possesses. Not oftentimes upriseth through the branches the probity of man, and this he wills who gives it, so that we may ask of him. Eke to the large-nosed reach my words, no less than to the other, Pierre, who with him sings. Whence Provence and Apulia grieve already, the plant is as inferior to its seed, as more than Beatrice and Margaret Costanza boasteth of her husband still. Behold the monarch of the simple life, Harry of England, sitting there alone. He in his branches has a better issue. He who, the lowest on the ground among them, sits looking upward, is the Marquis William, for whose sake Alessandria and her war make Montferrat and Canavese weep.
Purgatory. Canto 8.
'Twas now the hour that turneth back desire in those who sail the sea, and melts the heart,
the day they've said to their sweet friends farewell, and the new pilgrim penetrates with love, if he doth hear from far away a bell that seemeth to deplore the dying day, when I began to make of no avail my hearing, and to watch one of the souls uprisen that begged attention with its hand. It joined and lifted upward both its palms, fixing its eyes upon the Orient, as if it said to God, "Naught else I care for." Te lucis ante, so devoutly issued forth from its mouth, and with such dulcet tones, it made me issue forth from my own mind. And then the others, sweetly and devoutly, accompanied it through all the hymn entire, having their eyes on the supernal wheels. Here, reader, fix thine eyes well on the truth, for now indeed so subtle is the veil, surely to penetrate within is easy. I saw that army of the gentleborn thereafterward in silence upward gaze, as if in expectation, pale and humble. And from on high came forth and down descend, I saw two angels with two flaming swords, truncated and deprived of their points. Green as the little leaflets just now born, their garments were, which, by their verdant pinions beaten and blown abroad, they trailed behind. One just above us came to take his station, and one descended to the opposite bank, so that the people were contained between them. Clearly in them discerned I the blond head, but in their faces was the eye bewildered, as faculty confounded by excess. "From Mary's bosom both of them have come," Sordello said, "as guardians of the valley against the serpent that will come anon." Whereupon I, who knew not by what road, turned round about and closely drew myself, utterly frozen, to the faithful shoulders. And once again, Sordello, "Now descend we mid the grand shades, and we will speak to them. Right pleasant will it be for them to see you." Only three steps, I think, that I descended, and was below, and saw one who was looking only at me, as if he fain would know me. Already now the air was growing dark, but not so that between his eyes and mine it did not show what it before locked up. Towards me he moved, and I towards him did move. Noble Judge Nino, how it me delighted when I beheld thee not among the damned! No greeting fair was left unsaid between us. Then asked he, "How long is it since thou camest o'er the far waters to the mountain's foot?" "Oh," said I to him, "through the dismal places I came this morn, and am in the first life, albeit the other, going thus I gain." And on the instant my reply was heard, he and Sordello both shrank back from me like people who are suddenly bewildered. One to Virgilius, and the other turned to one who sat there, crying, "Up, Curado, come and behold what God in grace has willed." Then turned to me, "By that special grace thou owest unto him who so conceals his own first wherefore that it has no ford, when thou shalt be beyond the waters wide, tell my Giovanna that she pray for me, where answer to the innocent is made. I do not think her mother loves me more since she has laid aside her wimple white, which she, unhappy, needs must wish again. Through her full easily is comprehended how long in woman lasts the fire of love, if eye or touch do not relight it often. So fair a hatchment will not make for her the viper marshalling the Milanese afield as would have made Galura's cock." In this wise spake he, with the stamp impressed upon his aspect of that righteous zeal which measurably burneth in the heart. My greedy eyes still wandered up to heaven, still to that point where slowest are the stars, even as a wheel the nearest to its axle. And my conductor, "Son, what dost thou gaze at up there?" And I to him,
at those three torches with which this hither pole is all on fire. And he to me,
"The four resplendent stars thou sawest this morning are down yonder, lo, and these have mounted up to where those were."
As he was speaking to himself, Sordello drew him and said, "Lo, there our adversary," and pointed with his finger to look thither. Upon the side on which the little valley no barrier hath, a serpent was. Perchance the same which gave to Eve the bitter food. Twixt grass and flowers came on the evil streak, turning at times its head about, and licking its back like to a beast that smooths itself. I did not see, and therefore cannot say how, the celestial falcons gan to move, but well I saw that they were both in motion. Hearing the air cleft by their verdant wings, the serpent fled, and round the angels wheeled, up to their stations flying back alike. The shade that to the judge had near approached when he had called throughout that whole assault had not a moment loosed his gaze on me. "To say the light that leadeth thee on high, find in thine own free will as much of wax as needful is up to the highest azure," began it. "If some true intelligence of Valdemagra or its neighbourhood thou knowest, tell it me, who once was great there. Curaro Malespina was I called. I'm not the elder, but from him descended. To mine I bore the love which here refineth." "Oh," said I unto him, "through your domains I never passed, but where is there a dwelling throughout all Europe where they are not known? That fame which doeth honour to your house proclaims its signors and proclaims its land, so that he knows of them who ne'er was there. And, as I hope for heaven, I swear to you your honoured family in naught abates the glory of the purse and of the sword. It is so privileged by use and nature that though a guilty head misguide the world, soul it goes right and scorns the evil way."
And he, "Now go, for the sun shall not lie 7 times upon the pillow which the ram with all his 4 feet covers and bestrides, before that such a courteous opinion shall in the middle of thy head be nailed with greater nails than of another's speech, unless the course of justice standeth still."
Purgatory. Canto 9.
The concubine of old Tithonus now gleamed white upon the eastern balcony, forth from the arms of her sweet paramour. With gems her forehead all relucent was, set in the shape of that cold animal which with its tail doth smite amain the nations, and of the steps with which she mounts, the night had taken 2 in that place where we were, and now the 3rd was bending down its wings, when I, who something had of Adam in me, vanquished by sleep, upon the grass reclined, there were all 5 of us already sat. Just at the hour when her sad lay begins, the little swallow near unto the morning, perchance in memory of her former woes, and when the mind of man, a wanderer more from the flesh and less by thought imprisoned, almost prophetic in its visions is. In dreams, it seemed to me, I saw suspended an eagle in the sky with plumes of gold, with wings wide open and intent to stoop. And this, it seemed to me, was where had been by Ganymede his kith and kin abandoned, when to the high consistory he was rapt. I thought within myself,